leaving the companions and Crow almost entirely alone in the center of the roadway.
Great. One side thinks we're prejudiced against whites, the other that we hate all other colors, and none of them are going to help us to get at who's really causing the damage.
Ryan surveyed the emptying street.
Stupid bastards. They don't deserve anyone's help. Shit. Let's get mounted up and get out to the worksite. At least it doesn't smell so bad out there.
Over breakfast the next morning, Crow and the companion sat in an uneasy silence. Around them, the mid-morning sun beat down on the Sec compound. The heat was dry but still heavy, flies buzzing in the sun, drawn to the paddock by the horses.
Guess you feel this is a hopeless task after last night. If everyone feels you're against them, not only are you not going to get any breaks, but you're risking being under attack, which will only cloud the issue of the sabotage.
That's about right.
So, what do I tell Baron Silas?
Ryan cast his good eye over his gathered troops. JB stared back with his impassive, stoic expression. Ryan knew he could count on the armorer to back him all the way, and also knew that his old friend hated not seeing things through. And then there was Mildred. Her dark eyes stared across at Ryan, her face set. She had faced challenges all her life, and in the world she had awoken in as a Freezy. Mildred hated backing down, and wouldn't start now. Christy would back him all the way. A strong sense of natural justice ran through her, cultivated by the influential Uncle Tyus McCann from her days in Harmony. Next to her sat Dean. Looking at him was like looking into a mirror for the one-eyed man, and he saw himself as a youngster. The only thing Dean lacked was experience, and traveling with his father was giving him plenty of that. Dean had caught her stubbornness. He wouldn't back down from anything. That just left Doc and Jack. The old man was mentally unstable at times because of the things he had experienced in his bizarre and unique life. But the bottom line was that Doc's determination and fire kept him mostly sane, and was what had caused the pre-nuke cost whitecoats to push him further forward in time after plucking him from the past. Doc wouldn't like the idea of walking away from a job half done. And Jack was a born fighter and hunter who had lived through seeing his wife and child killed before tracking down the killers and exacting revenge. The albino was the last person to leave anything undone. It seemed like forever since Ryan had last spoken, and he was aware of Crow watching him intently. If the Native American reported back to Baron Silas that Ryan and his people couldn't or wouldn't do the job, then would the Baron decide that they had a price to pay for opting out? The attitudes he knew his friends to hold, and the possible repercussions of leaving, were two factors that combined to make only one answer possible.
Tell them we're going to get the fire-blasted shitters behind this, and to hell with what those stoops think. We don't run away from a fight if we can win it, and this one we can win.
I kind of figured you'd say that. So, is there any plan of action that you want to tell me? Or would you rather keep it to yourselves?
I don't see any harm in sharing it with you or Baron Silas, except for one thing. We don't really have a plan. That's what we need to get together before we patrol tonight.
JB sat back, pushing his fedora up on his forehead, and scratching at his head as he spoke thoughtfully.
I guess what we really need is to get an overall idea of the layout. We've ridden it, but we need to quarter it up so we can plan a series of watches.
Exactly. Are there any plans of the sites that are down on paper and that we can use? I'd guess there should be.
Myall must use something to plan his patrols. I guess the best thing is to ask him.
Let me.
The albino walked out into the sun, screwing up his eyes as the harsh and brilliant light hit him. He walked over to the paddock where he could see McVee coaching some of the Sec riders.
Hey, Whitey, how's things? Hear you and Crow had some trouble last night.
Stoop fighting. Myall around?
Sleeping. He was on late patrol out at the well. Unless it's real necessary, wouldn't like to disturb him, so is there anything I can do?
Maybe. Got paper for this?
Jack indicated the immediate area with a sweep of his arm.
What, the Sec camp or the workers' camp?
Both. And well, and refinery.
Guess there must be, because we must have planned the patrol somehow, but it's been such a while that I can't... just used to doing it from memory.
Jack said nothing, but it crossed his mind that the Sec patrols had been taking the same routes for so long that they had grown stale, maybe not so attentive to change. That would make them soft and easy prey for the saboteurs.
Tell you what, come with me.
Jack followed the Sec man across the camp, past the area where the radio shack was erected, and to the back of the blockhouse where the food for the camp was prepared and served.
In here.
McVee beckoned to Jack to follow him through a door that led past the kitchens and into a small office area. It was a room barely big enough for the table and chair that stood in it, and the table was bare on top, with two drawers beneath. He opened one of them.
Myall keeps our patrol schedules and routes in here. I don't know what's what, seeing as how I don't read, but I guess there must be a map of some kind here, as we had to know where we were going in the first place, right?
The stocky sec man took a bundle of papers from the table drawer and placed them on the top. He spread some of them out, looking for something that was a drawing rather than covered in, to him, incomprehensible writing. There were several drawn maps, and although all of them were labeled, he was unable to work out which ones mapped out which areas.
Hell, I sure hope you can make something out of all this.
He shrugged, stepping back to let Jack come near. The albino had limited reading skills, but he knew enough and had enough intelligence to work out which of the maps were of the camp area, and which of the well and refinery. He picked out two maps that folded out to nearly the area of the table and put the rest of the papers back in the drawer, closing it.
Tell Maya I'll have these.
Yeah, sure. Want to tell me why you got them, just so I can tell him?
Jack's piercing red eyes studied the sec man's face. McVee felt a shiver of fear pass over him at the cold way Jack regarded him, like an eagle about to stoop on its prey. For his part, Jack was trying to decide whether McVee was asking the question from anything other than an idle curiosity.
Just say Ryan Need.
He walked past McVee and out of the office, leaving the stocky sec man with a feeling that he had come close to buying the farm, without being able to explain why he had that feeling. When Jack arrived back at the companions' quarters with the maps, Ryan and JB spread them out across the long dining table. The two maps joined together to form a long diagram of the work camp, the refinery, the well, and the area in between. JB indicated the area in between.
Look at this. In the dark night, there are blind spots where even the most alert of sec patrols could be avoided.
Even if the saboteurs used wags like the one we saw the other night, surely the sound would carry across the desert and alert us.
Yeah, but any wag could outrun those horses, so the speed would beat the noise factor hands down.
That's true. If we leave the work camp to Myall and his men to keep it sealed at night, that still leaves us a lot of ground to cover with just the seven of us.
Doc removed one of the maps and let it fall to the floor with a gentle flutter.
Then may I suggest, my dear Ryan, that we completely forget about the area between there and here and concentrate instead on the work sites themselves.
Christy ran her index finger along the line on the map that represented the pipe system, linking the well to the refinery and the storage tanks.
Problem there is that we've got the pipeline between to cover.
Ryan examined the map closely. It was a relatively large area, and in extremely awkward shape to cover from all angles.
JB, what do you reckon?
The armorer had a mind like a steel trap when it came to sec matters.
My opinion?
JB pushed his spectacles up the bridge of his nose.
I don't think we can actually cover the whole area completely with just the seven of us. And I don't think we can trust the sec here to help us.
He noticed Crow's expression as he said this.
Not because they aren't any good, or might be behind this, but because they're not used to being with us, and it'd be more difficult to manage if they were just running around out there trying to second-guess what we were doing.
You'd have the radios.
Yeah, but we know how to fight together. They'd get in the way and make it hard. They could end up getting hurt. More important, they could stop us getting at whoever is behind this.
Ryan then returned his attention to JB.
So how do we quarter this up?
The armorer felt in one of his pockets and produced a stub of pencil with which he drew a series of lines swift and straight across the map.
Way I see it, there are 12 points on here where they could stage an attack that would take out the site and cause a lot of damage.
He marked 12 points. Two at the storage tanks, three along the pipeline, two at the well, and five at the refinery buildings, including the pipes that ran between them.
We need to keep a constant watch on those 12.
Except there are only seven of us.
So the best thing we can do is take seven of those points on each watch, keep on them for 4 hours, then move around to another 7 points for the next four.
That keeps the night watch busy and covers all points, but leaves 5 points unprotected for half the night.
Not much we can do about that, except perhaps to keep those uncovered points staggered so that no two of them are close together, and to stagger them on each night so no one can work out a pattern.
Sounds good. Baron Silas will approve.
Baron Silas doesn't have any choice. Now pass me that pencil, JB, and let's get the first night's route planned right now.
Baron Silas was seated at the head of the long dining table in his dining hall, surrounded by his pre-dark antiques. He was brooding darkly on the situation regarding his well and refinery, getting